Well, I just decided I was going to be here tonight to hear the rest of that. Now, this morning, if you'll turn in your Bibles to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 7. As the Christmas music is sung and as the Christmas season approaches, we are reminded that on Christmas Day we will be in Bethlehem, and the Lord willing, next Sunday night, we will give a full report or preview on that trip and bring you up to date on what you have done to make it possible financially. Next Sunday night, a week from tonight. So I hope that you will plan to be here at that time. Now in 1 Samuel chapter 7, I am going to read beginning at verse 9 and through verse 12. Before we look into the Word of God, I want us to go to the God of the Word in a moment of prayer. Our Father, we thank Thee for the song that never has an end, the song of redeeming grace through Jesus Christ our Lord. When we realize how unworthy and how undeserving and how sinful we really are, our souls are made to clap their hands and raise their voices in adoration and in praise for all Thy marvelous works among us. We thank Thee that Thou hast helped us when we were helpless, loved us when we were unlovable, redeemed us when the price was too much for us to pay. Grant, O God, this morning, Thy help and Thy love and mercy shall continue to abound. And for those who are yet lost, not knowing the joys of serving the Christ child and the King of all kings, may they in the Christmas season, yea, even today, learn to trust Him as their Savior. In His name we ask it, and for His sake, and with thanksgiving. Amen. And now in 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 9. And Samuel took a sucking lamb and offered it for a burnt offering, holy unto the Lord. And Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel. And the Lord heard him. And as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines and discomfited them, and they were smitten before Israel. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and smote them until they came under Bethcar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shen and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. Now, Isaac Watts must have read these verses before writing his immortal hymn entitled, O God, Our Help in Ages Past, Our Hope for Years to Come, Our Shelter from the Stormy Blast, and Our Eternal Home. before the hills in order stood, or earth received her frame, from everlasting thou art God, to endless years the same. We do not have to look long today to see the divine helper at work. My message I am borrowing from verse 12, the last phrase of that verse. Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shin and called the name of that stone Ebenezer, saying, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. I am certain that you will agree with me that the days that end out 1969 bring to a close the stormiest and the most turbulent decade in our nation's history. And with all of the violence, the assassinations, the scientific accomplishments, the accomplishments in medicine, the things that have happened on a national scale, and then those things that have gone unnoticed, with all of them, God has been working out his divine plan for a people. And the gospel continues to be heralded around the world. And I believe that the proclamation of the redeeming grace of Jesus Christ ought to take precedence over all other events, whether they be national or local or worldwide. For this gospel must be preached to every nation. So says Jesus. Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. I want us to see first how that God helped the chosen people Israel. There has never been and there shall never be another nation that enjoys the unique place in God's economy that Israel enjoys. And today in the Middle East, while the wars are raging in other places of the world, God's eyes are upon Jerusalem. While we are gathered here this morning, the ships and the armies of the great nations of earth are gathering in the Mediterranean Sea to do battle against Jerusalem. For Zechariah 14 declares, I shall gather all nations together for to battle against Jerusalem. Then Zechariah goes on to join with other prophets to declare that God shall intervene in that day with the revelation of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That nation has a tremendous history. But if I might use a modern way of putting it, you haven't seen anything yet as to what will come to the nation Israel and to the city of Jerusalem. For Jesus Christ shall reign where'er the sun doth his successive journeys run, his kingdom stretch from shore to shore, till moon shall wax and wane no more. Behold, the islands with their kings and Europe her finest tribute brings. From north to south the princes meet to pay their homage at his feet. They shall come from the north and south and east and west and fall down before the mighty king. And oh, what a day that's going to be. And Israel has been readying itself for that day since the time that God said to Abraham, this is your land and your seed after you. The great climax is soon coming. But let us go back for a moment. As our mind reflects upon some of the yesteryears of Israel's history. There they are in Egypt, fearful and afraid, enslaved, downtrodden for 400 years. God said, 'Tis enough. God raised up a man by the name of Moses and brought them out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And there they could have put up the stone, Ebenezer, hitherto the Lord hath helped us. And through the wilderness journey of 40 years, when they had no water, God gave them water. When they had no food, God gave them food. When they had not a sense of direction, God put a cloud in the sky by day and a pillar of fire by night. And wherever the cloud went, Israel went. And whenever the cloud stopped, Israel stopped. And anywhere along the way of 40 years of wilderness journey, Israel could have erected the stone, Ebenezer. Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. When they settled in the land of Canaan, the land that flowed with milk and water, they had a whole lot to overcome. God drove their enemies out from before them. God let them live in houses that they did not build. God let them drink from wells that they did not dig. God let them eat from vineyards that they did not plant. So in the land of Canaan, they could easily have erected the stone in any area and could have written upon it, Ebenezer, hitherto the Lord hath helped us. What shall I say more as I look at the days of their captivity? Down in the land of Babylon for 70 long years. And yet God put it in the hearts of a faithful remnant to continue the worship of Jehovah God. And even while they were slaves in Babylon, they could have erected a stone, hitherto the Lord hath helped us. And when they came in 536 BC, when Cyrus the Persian marched against Babylon, and according to history, changed the flow of the Euphrates River that divides the city of Babylon and went under the walls of Babylon in a dry bed and released God's people, the Jew, out of Babylon. They could have erected a stone on the outskirts of Babylon and inscribed across it, Ebenezer, hitherto the Lord hath helped us. And 50,000 of them went back under Zerubbabel and under Joshua the high priest to build again the temple of the living God. Somehow in my mind's eye, I can catch a glimpse of them as they look back into Babylon for the last time. And all of that great remnant, as they made their way across the burning sands of the desert, there was joy in their heart because they were going home. Oh, beloved, there's nothing like going home again. I shall never forget when I first went away from home. Hadn't been gone but 5 or 6 months. It seemed like 5 or 6 years. I'd been off down here in captivity in Texas. Amen. The first semester of my seminary work, when the time came for me to go home, I boarded an old Greyhound bus. And every mile it made eastward, my heart would beat a little bit faster because I was going home. And beloved, every time that old camel lifted up a foot and put it down across the burning sands of the desert, the children of God said, "We are going home." One of these days, beloved, we'll look back at the old Babylon of this world for the last time. And we shall sing, "We are going home to be with him." There they could have erected a stone and said, "Hitherto the Lord hath helped us." When they laid again the walls of the temple of God and then again the walls of the city of Jerusalem, on every wall of the temple, on every stone of that Jerusalem wall, they could have inscribed "Ebenezer, hitherto the Lord hath helped us." But the beautiful story of our text, when during the time of their sacrifice the armies of the Philistines marched against them, and Samuel said, the Lord will help us. God sent out a thunder and drove the Philistines away. And out there between Mizpah and Shen, the great prophet of God laid a stone and wrote on it, "Ebenezer, hitherto the Lord hath helped us." Then when I think how God has helped us here at Worth Baptist Church, from the day that the church began, almost 16 years ago, no better word could describe its progress than "Ebenezer, hitherto the Lord hath helped us." Although some 16 years, it's been my privilege to be connected with the church for about 13. It seems like only yesterday when the foundation of this building was dug, and some of you remember it. We dug one day and then we dipped out water the next day. And I could take you, if this roof, this ceiling were to be torn apart, to some places up there where I was trying to nail the crossboards and I hit the wrong nail. But still I can say, "Hitherto the Lord hath helped us." It seems like only yesterday when I preached my first message as the pastor of this church. I shall never forget the message, "The Lord is looking for a man." Those were lean days. Those were days when many things had to be done and many things had to be overcome. But I still believe we could write across all of those lean days, "Hitherto the Lord hath helped us." At the beginning of this year, 1969, we had some dreams of progress and expansion and enlargement. We envisioned that God would give us an enlarged ministry with greater opportunities to serve Him. And those dreams have come true. Back in the spring, as you know, we enlarged the auditorium to take care of 100 more people to worship the true and living God. "Ebenezer, hitherto the Lord hath helped us." We erected on the roof a spire to point men to heaven and wrote upon it, as it were, at least in our minds, "Ebenezer, the Lord hath helped us." We installed the new baptistry to baptize those who anchor their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And with every gallon of water that's gone in it, we have written in our hearts, "Ebenezer, hitherto the Lord hath helped us." We added some 10 or 12 missionary families to our ever-growing missionary family. This year alone, we will have given over $30,000 to spread the gospel around the world. And we can write on the missionary stone, "Hitherto, the Lord hath helped us." We purchased our youth activities bus to transport our young people. And we could easily write upon it, "Hitherto, the Lord hath helped us." Back in the month of October, we started our radio ministry. to broadcast the gospel of redeeming grace, and hitherto the Lord hath helped us. I was visiting just yesterday with one of our families out in their yard cleaning up. And as I was getting ready to leave, the man said to me, I want you to meet a man next door, and he was in his yard. So I went over and I was introduced to him, and he said, yes, I know you. And I thought, well, I don't know you. He said, I've heard your broadcast. In fact, he said, the other Sunday I taped it so I could hear it again. Hitherto, the Lord hath helped us. And so the story goes, throughout 1969, we have taught more of the Word of God to more people in any year in our history. And we can lay the stone at the close of this year and write upon it, Ebenezer, hitherto the Lord hath helped us. As we close this glorious year, we look back to reflect upon the blessings of God. We must be reminded that it's all because of the gift of Christ to the world. And it is all owing to his death upon the cross in the long ago. Last Wednesday night, we left the prayer meeting to go home. I heard a song on the radio that made my blood run cold. The name of it is The Troublemaker. How many of you have heard that song? Put your hands up, let's see. Well, you know what I'm talking about. That song depicts my Savior as a jobless, draft card burning, anti-establishment war protester. And I didn't like it. And it closes out that on Friday they hung that troublemaker to the cross. And I didn't like it. My blood pressure must have gone up 100 points. And so I went to the telephone as soon as I got home and I called up the station, WBAP. And I asked for the management. And the girl said, the management's not here. I said, well, then will you pass along a word to the management for me? I want to voice disapproval of the song that was just played on your radio station called The Troublemaker. And she stammered and coughed a little bit and said, well, what's wrong with it? And I said, well, it blasphemes the name of my Savior. And there may be 400,000 or 500,000 people in Fort Worth that will sit by and let people do it, but put it down for the record's sake, there's one man that disapproves of it. And that was the end of the conversation. Tuesday morning, I was on the way to the hospital in Arlington, and I heard it on KXOL. So I didn't wait till I got back to my office. I called from the hospital. And I said, I want to speak to the program manager. And he came on and I identified myself as I always do. I never did like for anybody to call me up and tell me a bunch of stuff and not tell me who they are. I identified myself and I said, I want to voice opposition to the song that's just come on your broadcast, your station. And he said, what is it? And I told him. He said, well, you must miss the point of the whole thing. He said, I'm a Christian and it makes me feel good. I said, yeah, and I'm a Christian and it makes me sick at my stomach. Oh, he said, now wait just a minute, let me explain. Then he tried to tell me that my Savior was just like the hippie murdering, draft card burning, war protesting crowd. And you talk about blood pressure going up. I was standing out in the middle of the lobby of the hospital. I couldn't find another telephone. And people began to look at me like they thought I was some kind of right-wing Puritan. And I suppose I am. But I said to that man, I do not believe that the Christian population of our great city that is known for its churches and its churchmen ought to be subjected to such a blasphemous song. He said, well, I see there's no need to try to explain it to you. You already got your mind made up. I said, you're exactly right. I do have my mind made up. And that was the end of that conversation. And then on the way home, I heard it again on KFJZ. So I politely went into my office and I called up KFJZ, and I didn't stop at the program manager this time. I wanted the big man, the general manager. She said, just a minute. Man came on and said, Stan Wilson. I said, Mr. Wilson, and I identified myself. And I said, I want to voice opposition about the song that's just been played on your radio station. Well, he said, what's the name of it? And I told him. And then I went on about a 5-minute spiel as to why I opposed it. And he listened, and intently he listened. And when it was through, he said, preacher, I thought I had a man policing those things. I've never heard the song myself, but I will. What'd you say your telephone number was? He took my number. About 2 or 3 hours later, while I was gone, the telephone rang. And Mr. Wilson of station KFJZ said to my secretary, tell the preacher he doesn't have to worry any longer. I've listened to the song and it will never be played on this radio station. And I'll do everything in my power to get it off the other stations. Anything that blasphemes the name of my Savior, I'm against it. And I think the time has come. And I told Mr. Wilson that the silent majority had remained silent too long. Now, if you go home today and you're listening to the station and they play it, call up the manager and tell him you disagree. Oh, you say, but there's nothing I can do about it. Well, it's not on KFJZ today, I'll promise you that. And the record is locked up in the manager's office. Mr. Giffins, who works for that station, called me Tuesday night or Thursday night, I believe it was. And he said, you'll be glad to know I've talked with the general manager. The record is locked up in his office and it'll not be played on this station anymore. I say again that these things that we have are brought about only by the redeeming grace of Jesus Christ. And it makes me angry. I thought the Bible said you ought not to get mad. It doesn't say such a thing. It says be angry and sin not. I don't think I sinned when I told that man what I thought about that song. Because the blood of Jesus Christ has made possible our redemption and our eternal hope. And I will not sit by and let men desecrate the name of my Savior. I hope you'll not do it either. Call them up and tell them you don't agree with it. Maybe we can get something done in these days. Now, what about your life? Couldn't you set up a stone and call it Ebenezer? Hasn't God helped you over the uneven pathway of your life? I know those of you who are saved, He helped you when you were lost. I know that He's helped you in hours of your discouragement, for you have learned with the psalmist to say, when my mother and my father forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. I believe that you could say that God has helped you in the time of your sorrow. For in 1969 and in years that have gone by, we have gone to yonder's grave and planted beneath the sods of Mother Earth the precious form of little babies and young men and fathers and mothers and brothers and sisters and uncles and aunts and grandmother and grandfather. Many of you have said to me, preacher, if it had not been for the grace of God, I could not have made it. And so you erected a stone. Ebenezer, hitherto hath the Lord helped me. God has helped you in the hour of your disappointment. And you have learned that disappointment often leads to an appointment with God. God has helped you in the time of your loneliness, for you have discovered that you are never, but never alone. For God is with you. For He promised, I will never never, 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 never. Five times in the Greek, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, but go with thee all the way, even to the end of the age. I have good news for you in this Christmas season. God is ready to help you now. And He is only a belief away. Just one expression, one sigh of faith, and there is God at your right hand to help you. You can say with the psalmist what he said in the words of one of my favorite passages of Scripture. In Psalm 121, I want to read those few verses to you. Listen to what the psalmist said about help. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. If this morning you are afraid and fearful, afraid of what life holds, afraid of what 1970 will bring, remember the words of the psalmist. What time I am afraid, I will trust in Him. If you are despondent, claim the promise. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. If you are burdened, accept the invitation of God Almighty, who said, cast all thy care upon Him, for He careth for you. If you are grieved in heart and soul this morning, remember the prophet Isaiah said, surely He hath carried our griefs. Surely He hath borne all of our griefs. He's carried all of our sorrows. The chastisement of our peace is upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. If you are at the crossroads of life and you do not know whether to go right or left, forward or backward, I admonish you to listen for the voice of God, who says, this is the way. Walk ye in it. Oh, my beloved, God's way is a way to eternal bliss. God's way is a way to eternal life. God's way is a way of eternal satisfaction and peace and joy and happiness while all the ages roll. Hitherto, the Lord hath helped us. If you're lost, if you've never trusted Christ, though you are religiously inclined, though you have joined a church, perhaps you've even been baptized, perhaps your name decorates somebody's church roll somewhere, but this morning you know in the heart of hearts, with judgment day honesty and death staring you in the face, that you have never trusted my Savior as your Savior. I'm here to tell you that God will help you in this moment. For I read in Revelation 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open, I will come in and fellowship with him, and he with me." And I read in John chapter 1, verse 11 and verse 12, that he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that join the church. No. Even to them that take communion. No. Even to them that are baptized. No. Even to them that sign the card of pledging a better life. No. Even to them that turn over a new leaf. No. Even to them that receive him, that believe on his name. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And I read in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And I read in Acts 16:31, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." It's just as certain. It's just as sure, it's just as true, it's just as steadfast, it's just as absolute as God is absolute. And I read the words of my Savior in John 5:24. "He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation or judgment, but is passed from death unto life." My text reveals that God did not help Israel until they had acknowledged him in sacrifice. God will help you if you will accept the death of his Son as the sacrifice on Calvary's cross for your sins. Looking back over 1969, I'm sure that you discover that there were many appointments that you could not keep. But hear me when I say it. There is an appointment that you will keep. Hebrews 9:27 declares, "It is appointed unto men once to die." You have an appointment with death. It is appointed unto men. It's not an accident. Man has an appointment with death. The casket that will hold your remains may already be made. The sermon that will be preached at your funeral may already be developing in the mind of some pastor. Or it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. You may have missed many appointments, but there are two you're going to keep. One is death, the other is judgment. Everyone here is facing death. But you don't have to die alone. The psalmist said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Hitherto hath the Lord helped us." And he will help you in this moment if you will but acknowledge him. If you will but look to him, believe him, you can write across the stone of your life, December 14, 1969, "Ebenezer, hitherto the Lord hath helped us." Let us stand for our prayer. Our Father, we thank thee for the Ebenezers of our lives. We thank thee that we know we can write it and mean it and know it and believe it, that hitherto hath the Lord helped us. Now, Father, I pray the Holy Spirit would be at work in the hearts of men. We are so frail. We have so many good intentions. There are men here this morning who have been intending, and have been bent upon doing something about their lives, but they haven't done it. There are families here this morning that are intent upon doing something in their lives today. May the Holy Spirit bring them to that place to do it. There are young people who need to step out. There are those, Heavenly Father, who are in the prime of life who need to step out, planning their lives, their career. There are those who have reached the twilight zone of life who need to come today. Dear God, remind us all that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. May men come today to trust Christ. And may, as the invitation hymn is sung, many respond. For whatever their need is, in Jesus' name we pray.